5:06 on the Central Coast. It is Thursday, May 19th, 2022. I'm Dave Congleton. Halfway through the broadcast, in about an hour, Karen Vealey's in studio from Cal Coast News. Let's just talk about all the local races. You're hearing the ads. Fine. Let's talk about the candidates. Speaking of candidates, tomorrow, Stu Jenkins, running for County Clerk Recorder, will be here at 5 o'clock. King Harris is going to do his weekly salute at 4:05. He's going to focus on the great doo-wop music of the 1950s. This hour, very pleased to be in conversation with Dr. Renee Bravo. We all know Dr. Bravo. 36 years in practice, most recently named San Luis Obispo Citizen of the Year. He is here at my invitation to try to make sense and separate fact from fiction on what's happening, not happening, with the baby formula shortage. Actually, he's here because he thought he could come here and get away from the ringing telephone. Dr. Bravo, nice to see you. Thank you for coming in.
It's good to be here, Dave.
Are you getting a lot of phone calls on this?
You know, we really are. People are just nervous. They're scared. And you know, I thought COVID was enough.
Yeah.
And then this thing comes up now.
Yeah.
So it's been tough. It's been a tough year.
All right. So, but you were telling me when you came here, you didn't think it was as bad in California as the rest of the country.
No, that truly is the case. I saw a graphic a few days ago of formula shortages based on states, and it looks like the West Coast is faring reasonably well. Seems mostly the Midwest, Texas, up north, Missouri.
Any idea why that would be?
You know, I think just distribution and supply chain issues. But beyond that, no. And everybody's trying to make logic of this, and I think it's really not a complicated concept. It was the plant that made most of the formula, or at least half of the formula in the United States, closed down.
This is Abbott?
Abbott Lab, yeah, in Michigan. Yes.
Right.
Yes. And the close down occurred, you know, in February. There was concerns about formula contamination, and there was a recall, which was ordered. Everybody did everything right. They investigated a few deaths that were associated with bacterial contamination of the formula. They found, though, that the formula was not the cause of it because they were able to track the bacteria. But the problem stems from there. After the plant was closed down, then they had to go through the rigmarole of reopening the plant. And so they had to work with the FDA again. And things were just kind of not moving real quickly. In the meantime, the formula stocks started to dwindle and get less and less and less, and I think it trickled to a point where we first started hearing about shortages about 3 to 4 weeks ago.
Was anybody sounding an alarm, like, hey, if we don't do something?
You know, I hope somebody was, but if they were amazingly ineffective. So,
And you were sharing with me, you just got a professional from your professional organization?
Yeah, the American Academy of Pediatrics just let out a blitz because they have pounded out letters and telling all of the members of the Academy to call your congressman and the White House and tell them that there are several steps that they wish that they take right away, that they need to make this the highest priority, and it's a national security issue. Which, you know, I mean, when we think of national security issues, we think of rockets and bombs.
Yeah.
And security, we don't think of baby formula. But right. They really, now that the Abbott plant in Michigan has been cleared to reopen, they really need to do everything to facilitate that, make it go, you know, cut the bureaucracy down.
But it's still going to be weeks, I would imagine.
Yeah, no, that's what they said. They can ramp up within 10 days, but it's going to take about 3 to 4 weeks to see everything kind of coming back, hopefully coming back to normal. But one of the things I'll tell you about food and drug, because in part of my career I worked with FDA, and they are known for working quickly at glacial speed. I mean, that's just the part of the resume is not high energy to be used there. So they're very careful. They work methodically, but in this case they really can't. They really do have to push this one out.
Well, reaction, please, to what President Biden did yesterday. I'm just bringing it up here.
Yep. Yeah.
President Biden yesterday invoked the Defense Production Act to speed production of infant formula and authorize flights to import supply from overseas as he faces mounting political pressure over domestic shortage.
Yes. Good move. Wise move. More importantly, he really needs to push the bureaucracy of FDA, that's what he's doing. The other thing that I think was smart there is importation issues. I mean, for years, people have been importing formulas from Europe. because for various reasons they like them. The FDA has really looked darkly on that because of labeling issues, regulatory issues, et cetera. Right now is the time to not enforce a lot of these things. Get this formula from Canada or from Europe in here. People are already doing that anyway. Amazon and the deliverers are stepping up to that.
So when the patients are calling your office, Dr. Bravo, what's your message to them? Well, are you telling them where they can go or?
Well, it's twofold. I mean, we do have formula. We have formula samples and we give those out. The second thing is to kind of direct them. You respond differently based on how old your child is. If you have a 9 or 10-month-old infant and you really are out of formula, you can use cow's milk. I mean, the Academy has made a very clear recommendation during this time. If you are out of formula and you're above 6 months, which kind of startled me, then you can use whole cow's milk for a while until the formula supplies get back up again. That's consistent with what we used to do 30 and 40 years ago. Is it the best thing? No. I mean, I'm more comfortable waiting till 9 months to implement that because that's what we talked about. And the older generation will remember that's when we started cow's milk at about 9 months. But that's one. If you have a child under 6 months, then getting the formula I think is imperative, and try to keep about 10 days of 10 days in stock. That's what they're saying. Don't try. We can't do the toilet paper thing we did for COVID, where all of a sudden everybody feared that they would not have the precious paper, and they went out and it was nowhere to be found. And I think we're kind of in fear of that going. I'm worried about that.
Well, the Tribune has a story about mostly mothers driving around the county, and the one woman went to seven different stores, and there's a Facebook page already where moms mostly are taking photos of the shelves at different stores. Or you can go here, or you can go there.
Well, that works well in the real time, so to speak. But you know, the other thing.
My point just being the concern out there.
Yeah, no, it's created quite a bit of concern. I think one thing that I will say though that's very important is that a lot of the stores already have signs that say you can't hoard, et cetera. But there are people who have twins. Nobody thought about them, you know. I mean, there should be exceptions to people with multiples, and then there's kids out there who have special needs, PKU kids, et cetera.
Explain PKU.
Phenylketonuria, where you have to have a special formula, or else you'll be damaged. And I'll tell you what I've directed a few of those families that they need to talk to the regional clinics that take care of them because they have the formula available, and then look for dietary alternatives. I think it's really points out to the fact that you need to have a good discussion with your physician. And most all the pediatricians, we're all aware of this stuff right now. I mean, this is what we're dealing with. And if I may say, it's not that we want to talk about a crisis, but it's a little bit. This is not COVID, so there are answers to this. The second part of this is this will end. I keep telling people we're not talking about an infection that will go on for years here. This likely will be. Hopefully be back to normal in the next 4 to 6 weeks. We just have to get through the next 4 to 6 weeks.
And hopefully learn our lessons so that the next time we're better prepared.
You think we will?
No.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my gosh. Never seen this in my entire career. Never.
All right, let's break away. We will come back with Dr. Rene Bravo and get his take on what is happening, not happening with baby formula. We'll welcome your phone calls and text messages as well. You're listening to The Dave Congleton Show. You have landed on The Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. We are in conversation with Dr. Rene Bravo, in practice for 36 years, but even he hasn't seen anything like this, as we're talking about baby formula. I saw your Facebook post the other day, the do's and don'ts. Obviously, number one, don't do homemade formula.
Yeah, no, that's really, I think, the biggest fear. There's a consistent message getting out there right now on that, you know, all the recipes and everything that people try for homemade formulas, they're not so benign. I mean, there can be very significant dangers that occur based on the kid, the child's age. And so we try to get people away from that. part of the reason why that has kind of stuck on is that people used to make their own formulas 50, 60, 80 years ago. And were they great back then? No. It doesn't make them great now either. So we tell people we're not at that stage yet where it's that dire that we're going to put our children's health at risk.
Number two, don't dilute existing formula to try to stretch it out.
Well, that's a classic. I mean, that actually happens outside of any sort of shortage. But what happens there is that children don't get the essential electrolytes and nutrients that they need. And over the long term, that can really cause some significant damage and even death. There have been deaths as a consequence of that. Water overload, for example. So that's a dangerous thing to do.
We need to talk, this is strange, two guys talking about this, but we need to talk about breastfeeding.
Sure.
Because there is the shaming that is taking place. I've seen it on Facebook.
Yeah, I know.
From women.
Yeah, no, that's it's really, it's not helpful. I put that, it's just not, it doesn't help this acute situation right now. And just today, all day I've been dealing with parents, women who have been nursing, women who are bottle feeding. I ask everyone, how are you doing? How are you getting formula? I'm getting some really interesting answers. And the first thing that's happening that I notice among the women who are bottle feeding is that they're now enlisting the support of friends, relatives in other parts of the country. They're actually fairly creative. For example, one lady that I talked to today, she has a mom in the Bay Area, another out of state where it's a little more abundant, and so they're snagging cans for her and mailing it to her here. So people are getting creative. They're enlisting the help of their extended families. The second thing about the breastfeeding. We're actually not doing poorly on the Central Coast because there is such a high incidence of breastfeeding. But yet this is not the time I would say to you know, put other mothers down, because there's a lot of reasons why women can't nurse also. And this, for the ones that are just having babies, I saw people with brand new babies today, you know, we're helping them get nursing, make sure they get nursing going. But the reality is that this is not a time to make people feel bad about the choices they made in infant nutrition a few months ago or 6 months ago, because that's just not going to help them feel better about this.
And what about the women who are about to give birth, doctor? Are they concerned? They must be concerned.
Well, you know, I would tell you this: the mothers that are about to give birth, that are dealing with their OB-GYNs, they're trying to work on nursing. We all encourage breastfeeding as the best form of infant nutrition, and we try to give them as best start as possible. They're really good in the hospitals here or in the birthing centers at really supporting women to do that. So it just gives them another impetus to keep going, to really give it a good try.
Yeah. All right. We're in conversation with Dr. Renee Bravo. We're talking about the baby formula situation. Now the President of the United States has gotten involved with Operation Fly Formula. That's what it's become to. If you want to end the conversation, if you have a question or you want to talk about it with Dr. Bravo, either on the phone or through a text, phone number is 805-543-8830. That's 805-543-8830. Remind me, since I'm not a father, how far back does formula go?
Oh, when were the first formulas?
Yeah.
Late 1950s, early 1960s.
All right. So prior to that, what happened?
Well, there were people used Karo syrup and mixes of Karo syrup. Remember PET, condensed evaporated milk. It was usually evaporated milk in the 30s. That's why it was developed. And you can still buy that stuff out there. It's still remnants of it. But that was the American dairy industry was really, really heavy into promoting this. And then in the 60s, they started really working at trying to develop specific infant formulas, because they wanted to try to, and this has been the great dream of formula manufacturers, how can we make a substance that mimics or is identical to human breast milk? And they can't. They really haven't been able to. They've tried, because they keep analyzing it, but that's what the current science is, that they're trying to emulate human breast milk. That's what they're. And I, you know, that's a hard thing to do, because it's a very specific human nutrient designed for a very limited but very important time of life.
Yeah, the formula itself, has it changed much over the decades? The formula
Oh, yes.
Today.
Oh yes. Formulas are are developed with certain allergies in mind and allergens in mind, specific proteins, ratios of proteins, specific lipids. They've removed some of the bad things. They used to use corn syrup a lot, which was not good. Proteins that you have to be careful of. There's still cow's milk, obviously, in some of them. Some of them are just soy-based or plant-based because of the cow's milk allergies. But formulas are a very specific type of liquid. They're not just milk with a bunch of stuff in it.
We've kind of addressed this question, but on the Stolberg line, listener wants to know, why is one maker going down, hitting the market so badly? Well, it's because they're 50%.
Yeah, it's because they're a big – two reasons, actually. It's an interesting question. Number one, the logic goes if you make most or at least half of this stuff in the country, that's one thing. But the other thing, too, is that there's something called the WIC program, Women's, Infants, and Children, which buys formula and gives it to low-income families. And they're huge in the country. I mean, they buy up 70% of the formula in the nation and distribute it. And they were heavy into Abbott because they contract each state by state contracts this, and because of that, when the big one went down like this, it really rippled into other directions. So yeah, that's why. And the second part is we don't have some great stockpile of formula. It's not like oil supplies.
No.
I mean, formula is a perishable item, so you either use it or it goes bad.
Yeah, it's not like oil.
Yeah, it's not like oil. We don't have national formula supplies. And it's regional. The demand is always regional.
So what would keep the other three companies from stepping in and filling the gap?
Oh, I think they are.
Okay.
I think they are. No, they're trying, but they don't have the manufacturing capabilities, I wouldn't think. And here's – prior to this whole thing, debacle that's evolved the last 4 to 6 weeks, I mean, as pediatricians, we're not – we don't really follow the formula markets because we're heavy into making sure that lactation is promoted. That's really been our focus. That's our professional focus.
Dr. Renee Bravo on this broadcast talking about what is happening with baby formula, and now President Biden is getting involved with the Defense Production Act. And we stress that because of this situation, this is not happening in other countries. This is unique.
This is an American problem. Putin didn't do this.
Yeah.
This is an American problem.
What lessons do we take away from this whole situation, Doctor?
Well, I think the biggest lesson is that we need to keep a logic. This is one of those things where it's just obvious what happened. The manufacturer went down. Nobody was noticing. The stockpiles dwindled. So step one is when this happens again, we need to make sure that someone rings an alarm bell, that there is an alarm bell to ring. I think that is really the key thing. The second, there needs to be flexibility with Food and Drug in terms of time of need. It had to go to a crisis status for somebody to notice that FDA was dragging their feet, and that's where we're at right now.
Hmm. And I guess our own Congressman Carbajal has been involved in this, trying to expedite the process.
Well, I think it's very valuable because now here's the thing. There are a lot of people trying to get formula, but there's a lot of people that don't have the resources to drive around.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have the money for the gas.
Yeah.
There's a lot of low-income, underprivileged people that don't have the advantages. This hits them worse, and I think that's why this is going in some communities. This could be very devastating.
On the text line, do we know of a program where women can donate their extra breast milk?
Yeah, breast milk. There are breast milk banks. You can find out a lot of information that through the hospitals where you can become a donor. There's a lot of women who are kind of going beyond the bank system and are talking to each other using Facebook and social media. I'd be careful unless you really knew the donor, because we have to remember that milk has to be, breast milk has to be stored it has to be carefully kept because it's a very perishable item. But I would call the hospitals and the breast milk banks there.
All right. We're in conversation, Dr. Renee Bravo. Off we go. We've got news and traffic and weather, and we'll take your phone calls for the good doctor. I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio. All right, we've got Karen Vealy joining us at 6:05. Next week, we've got Michelle Quaid, Republican for Congress, on Monday. We've got Vicky Norton. She's running for State Assembly on Wednesday. We have Elena Cano, who wants to keep her job as County Clerk Recorder on Thursday. Bruce Jones on Friday. We're going to be very busy. All we ask is that you take the time to vote in the June 7th primary. Dawn Addis, the week after that, she's going to be our final candidate. And then I may need baby formula. I don't know. We're here with Dr. Renee Bravo, a longtime pediatrician, 36 years in the business. He's the go-to guy on this. If you want in on this conversation, we welcome your calls. 805-543-8830. We'll also read your text messages for the doctor. I think it's very important that we hear from him, because if you go on Facebook, if you go in the local media, there's a lot of fear. And what I'm hearing the doctors say is, don't be afraid. We're going to get through this.
No, absolutely. You know, that's one thing that I think we should have learned communally as in this town, especially going through the last couple of years of the pandemic, is that sometimes what we fear that is going to happen doesn't happen, and yet it causes a lot of angst and anxiety. And because of that, you know, people kind of just do things. They go sideways and they do things that they shouldn't do. And I think the recommendations that I'm seeing coming down nationally are wise recommendations. Don't hoard. Don't buy more than you need to buy. Try to keep a 10-day to 2-week supply. That's what a lot of people do anyway. And know that this is going to finish. This will end. There is a solution to this problem, and the solution is occurring. And I think, going back to what you told me, Dave, the real blessing needs to be what we learn from this and how we can prevent this from ever happening again.
Let's take a call. We've got Jennifer and Oceano on KVEC. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Dr. Bravo.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Thank you for coming on and talking about this. As you know, as you mentioned, you know, parents are really scared.
Yes.
And it's really important that they get both good information and solutions to whatever their sure. individual problem is. And you're trying to cover that. You mentioned that people could donate to the milk bank.
Yes.
Our local milk bank is San Jose Milk Bank, and we have a milk bank depot where they can actually donate. If they go to Simply Mama Facebook page, they can learn about milk bank donations.
Good. It's
where
called
to
Simply,
take their milk, Simply, how to sign up, all of that.
Simply Mama?
Simply Mama.
Okay.
It's a business that was started by Kathleen Huggins, one of our premier lactation consultants in this area.
I would second that comment.
Yes.
She
helped manage multiple generations of women
yes.
breastfeed here, and she is one of the reasons why we have a higher breastfeeding rate
yes.
than most other places.
Yes.
Having said all of that, I'm just like, okay, but talk a little bit about, well, where does that milk banked milk go? Because it's not going to turn around and go to that 4-month baby who's completely healthy.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you mean, where does it go?
When the San Jose Milk Bank dispenses milk,
mm-hmm.
it's not dispensed in a way that's actually going to go to parents who have, the child has no medical need,
mm-hmm.
they're 4 months old,
yeah,
and they're running out of formula.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that it may not be going in the right direction.
Well, it's going in a very necessary direction
yeah.
because it helps all of our NICU babies.
Yes,
it's critically
yes.
important, but it doesn't really, it's not really the solution to this
yeah.
particular problem.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. And the concern would be that you would somehow take away from those babies in the NICU that really need that. And is that what you're trying to say?
Well, if you could even get it,
yeah.
it's very expensive.
I'll tell you what I know that is going on because I've seen it happening firsthand. I know mothers are talking right now, and they're communicating via Facebook or social media in terms of trying to get breast milk supplies. Many of them store breast milk. I mean, they have freezers full of this, and it's not just happening here locally. I mean, it's happening nationally, and so they're talking with each other. The Academy is a little bit concerned about this because, you know, you have to be respectful of donor breast milk. You can't just just say, hey, I've got some and you want it. There's medical implications, there are infectious disease implications, etc. I mean, there's a way and mechanism to do this. The donor milk systems that we have were not designed for this sort of crisis. So I think that's what you're alluding to.
It's not like giving blood.
No.
Yeah. No. All right. No. Jennifer, I'm curious because you're active in this field as well. What are you hearing from women?
It's interesting because I know that there is in various Facebook groups that I happen to be members of. There are women that are posting, I have this or I have that. I saw this in the store today. Go get it. That kind of thing. I'm seeing, it's very interesting to see two very different things happening. One, mothers saying, and others saying really hurtful and unkind things to each other about the choices that they have made.
Yeah.
And then also at the same time, mothers really trying to help each other, problem solve, fill in the gap, create a community and solve a problem. And I just wish that that's more the direction that we were all headed. I respect Dr. Bravo's concerns around mother-to-mother milk sharing. It's not that it is risk-free, but then formula feeding is also not completely risk-free. And certainly feeding your baby formula that's watered down or adulterated in some way in order to get you through is also not risk-free. So parents have to figure out what risk feels right for them, having talked to their doctor,
considered
all the points.
No, Jen, I agree with you. The thing that I just don't have an answer for this is why people feel the need to beat on each other at a time when they're feeling pretty low right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it just boggles my mind because not only is it not helpful, it's damaging, and it really doesn't help get to a solution. I don't know why we've evolved into a culture, especially in the baby culture. You know, this is a time when it's just not necessary. And you're right on, you're expressing all these concerns. I mean, I completely share those. The thing that strikes me most is how unprepared we have been for this.
Yeah.
Because did anybody see this a year ago? Or even think that this was a possibility?
6 months ago.
Yeah, I mean, when's this going to stop?
Yeah.
I'm tired of being surprised, to be honest with you.
Jennifer, what else is on your mind?
Actually, I would say that La Leche League, because they're an international organization, has seen that there was a vulnerability here. When you have this many infants dependent upon a system that is a corporate run, that's a vulnerability for human survival. And they've been working on this for decades and decades and decades. And I think that's the elephant in the room is how did we end up in the United States where only 25% of our babies are exclusively breastfed for the first 6 months, even though our American Academy of Pediatrics wants all of the babies that can be exclusively breastfed for the first 6 months.
Yeah, that's a fundamental principle of how we practice medicine now. It wasn't fundamental 20 and 25 years ago, not when I got here, but it's because of all the championing. The thing that strikes me is that with all the work we've done in the last three or four decades, that we're still in this mess. But anyhow, that's another discussion.
Yeah.
All right. Right.
Jennifer, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right,
the Stolberg line. For Dr. Bravo, we've kind of addressed this, but we'll run it up again. Have other technologically advanced nations like ours ever encountered this shortage problem?
I checked the BBC because I was kind of curious what's out there in Europe, and not that I have seen. We're writing the book. we're doing the American thing right now, you know. We're writing the book on a crisis. So, no, to my knowledge, I haven't seen it. I imagine, though, you would think that in war-torn areas where the supply chains are disrupted that you would have had something like this, but no, it's I don't have any knowledge. Somebody may know. I don't have any knowledge of that.
We are in conversation with pediatrician Dr. Rene Bravo, getting his perspective on what is happening with the baby formula situation across the country and across the county. We'll come back for a final segment on AM 920 FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC, where we enter our final segment with Dr. Rene Bravo, pediatrician, 36 years. He is our go-to guy on the issue of baby formula. I know. It's kind of like what he was saying before. 6 months ago, who thought we'd be talking about this? But if you want in on the conversation, we need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830. Carol is in Shell Beach on KVEC. Hi, Carol.
Hi. First of all, I'd like to thank the doctor for his many years of supporting and helping all women. That's a very wonderful legacy to live and leave, and I really appreciate all he's done.
Thank you.
Bravo.
And
thank you.
And the second thing I wanted to bring up is when I was reading about the women getting angry with each other on some of my friends' Facebook pages, what kept coming up was, if you can breastfeed, you're privileged. And the answer was, privileged? You know, seriously? And what I picked up on is people are working so hard, like two people have to work now to afford to live somewhere. And we don't have enough time for women to stay home and get with their babies that other countries provide. And so what I would recommend is to start supporting and give this information to whoever could make a difference, because this country has the money, but the question is, where do they spend it?
Let's get an answer. Hang on a second, doctor.
No, I think what you're alluding to is how the United States really sometimes lacks behind in prolonged or appropriate family medical leave or family leave in general after having babies. I mean, the Scandinavian countries are notorious for giving you months and months off. Where in the United States, standardly, it's about 6 weeks paid, and so you're right, because that is one of the pressures that occurs with brand new parents, you know, especially with dual incomes. The pressure to go back to work certainly affects the ability to lactate. So, not really wanting to go too much off topic here, but I agree with you entirely. This is another way in the future that we can encourage more breastfeeding. But right now, we just got to get we got to get nutrition to those babies.
Yeah. What else, Carol?
Right. So it's not about, I'm fine with whether you breastfeed or not. What I'm interested in is, how do we help each woman? I taught child development, and I ran a program for pregnant teenagers for 16 years.
Good for you.
And I learned a lot, and that was in Santa Maria, and Santa Maria has the highest teenage birth rate in the nation. One of the most interesting conversations I had was, a girl said, because they're still at home and they're having a baby and you have to interface with their parents, and she said, they say I'm holding the baby too long. And so I thought, and I'd like your opinion on this. So I thought, well, let's go back to nature. Well, the average time you would hold a baby is how long you breastfeed. That's the normal.
Hmm.
And that's a lot of time. So I'd like your information, your comment on that. Thank you.
Sure.
Carol, thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, you hit on some really good points in trying to keep this from happening again, encouraging lactation, et cetera. I think that's what we want to do. That's what we should do as a nation and a culture. Right now, though, I'm trying to stay back on the issue that one of the and I'll say this is probably a good response to you. The great lesson in all of this is, how do we encourage women with all backgrounds to breastfeed? Because you're right, the largest users of infant formula are low income women. That's a fact, and that needs to, if we can alter that, then we won't have these crises also in the future. So that's an interesting concept. I mean, we can talk a lot about that. So,
Carol, thank you. 805-543-8830 for Dr. Bravo. Jim's in Arroyo Grande. Hi, Jim.
Hey.
Hi.
Dr. Bravo, it's Jim Barnett. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
First, I want to thank you for attending six of my eight children and four of my six grandchildren,
Jim,
over the years. But beyond that, am I naive, or is it possible for, say, a single mom who's not working, who's can women share like wet nurses of old, like biblical?
Boy,
men, even,
I tell you, they could
breastfeed other people's babies.
Well, I'll tell you, the wet nurse concept from the 16th, 17th, 18th century, I'm sure that some people are trying to figure that one out. It's back to the whole idea we had before of making sure that donor breast milk is safe, and that because when you nurse a baby, you're also, remember, breast milk is a body fluid, and so we have to treat it as that, and so there's risks involved with that, but I'm sure that there's somebody out there thinking about that already. So now that, and I've read a few little blogs about that. I sure hope they don't go out there and sell it though like that. So yeah.
Jim, what else?
Good to hear from you, Jim.
Well, I was good to hear from you too, Rick.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking of selling it. I realize.
Could you imagine that?
People out there.
Could you see that on Craigslist?
Share the milk. I mean, if there's nothing dangerous about breastfeeding, like suppose two sisters have babies, one's working, one's not. I mean, I don't know.
Well, that does happen. That happens before this. That's happening. So that's still out there.
Yeah. Well, all right. You answered my question. Thanks.
All right. Take care, buddy.
That's why he's here. Anybody else? 805-543-8830. As we talk about baby formula on the Stolberg line. Let me translate this. Forget about it. If you want to order baby formula online, there's a 10 to 15-day wait.
Yeah, probably now, I'm sure. I'm sure the Europeans are getting hammered with American orders right now.
I wonder what that does to the price. Drives the price up.
Well, I don't think it'll drive it down.
Yeah.
So,
what's the typical price for formula these days?
Oh, $20 a can. I can see that going. So,
I
haven't bought formula, honestly. So I'm kind of shooting from the hip on that one.
We got a few minutes left. Last time you were here, it was about COVID and young people. Where are you today on COVID vaccinations?
Well, we're seeing the problems in kids with COVID not existing, which is good. There are some kids that have had problems, but it's by and large, it's what we thought it was. It's affecting mostly the older and the immunocompromised populations. Vaccinations are kind of, they're not going real heavily right now. Most people are not thinking about it. They're getting boosters. There's people that are planning to travel are getting their boosters also. The vaccines are still not available for the 6 month to 5 year group, and so we're waiting to hear what the FDA has to say about that. Again, we're back to the FDA.
Right.
Overall, even though it's dying down, people are kind of adapted to it now. I don't feel the anxiety or the angst in the younger families that we used to.
But what about the urgency to have young people vaccinated?
I still think that's out there. I still think that's a good goal to have. Right now, the absence of mandates has allowed people the time to think this through. I still recommend it, especially if you're traveling and or around high-risk people in your family. I still think that's important.
We've got Charlotte in Arroyo Grande. Hi, Charlotte.
Hey, thank you, Dave. Dr. Bravo, you are the doctor to my newest member of the family, and my daughter gets her formula from, she is now 10 months, so she's no longer nursing.
Mm.
From Europe, and there's been no delay at all, zero.
Good, good.
She'll order, and she'll get her package in 3 to 5 days.
Is she getting it from Germany? Is it the German formula?
It's bio something.
Yeah.
Because
I believe
Holly is another one.
Yeah, I believe it's coming mostly from Germany. Although I've heard some from the Netherlands and also I don't know. But I hope that doesn't become what we do all the time.
Hmm.
So, exactly.
It's got to be expensive.
Goat milk as well. It's
Charlotte, any idea what she's paying?
She's paying right around $32 a can.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's expensive.
And that includes the shipping.
And a can lasts
but that includes shipping from Europe.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll tell you, there isn't a price you can pay for your yeah. for your baby's yeah. health, but, you know, this is, we're already straining.
This is where the government should come in and supplement, to be honest with you. Yeah. I feel strongly about that. At this time, our government really has to kick in. If we can do the other things that we're doing, this should be a no-brainer.
What do you want them to do, Charlotte, specifically?
Well, I think that it's important that the government fund the food banks and help get the formula into the food banks. That would be one. It could be a trickle down where the federal government helps the state, helps the county. But we need to do it now. I can't even fathom. I take care of my little guy every day. I can't even fathom what I would feel like knowing he's hungry and there's nothing I can do but give him water.
Yeah. Well,
there are women like that right now, and I think our hearts should bleed.
It's terrible. It's the United States. We shouldn't be doing this, and I agree with that. You know, we can pull together to fix this. If this goes away, and we don't learn anything from it, I think that's the tragedy.
All right, Charlotte, I'm sorry. The tragedy is we are out of time. Oh. Thanks for the call, and Susan on the text line is saying that Costco is limiting 2 cans per customer.
Yeah, I think they really need to rethink that, especially if you have twins. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that
could
have twins.
Could be 2 cans per baby, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But people are getting around these things, I'll tell you that. I've seen that already.
Dr. Bravo, appreciate your time and your wisdom. You got 30 seconds for a final thought, sir.
No, I just want to say thanks, Dave, and to the people out there. Let's just work together. Let's not shame people who didn't make the choice to breastfeed. Let's learn from the problems we have here. If people have extra formulas, talk to each other. Talk to your pediatrician primarily before you make any sort of rash decisions. I know the pediatric community here is really open to talking about that. And just we'll get through this like we get through everything else.
Fair enough. Thank you, Doctor.
Take care now.
Off we go. We have ABC Radio News. Craig updates us with Time Saver traffic and weather together. We've been actually doing pretty well with traffic this afternoon. Please keep that up. And then we spend the final hour with Karen Vealey from Cal Coast News. Let's talk about the upcoming June 7th primary, shall we? You're listening to The Dave Congleton Show.